is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in to the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi, who's out there at his office in Jersey. Stormy Bonantoni here in downtown Las Vegas, live from Circuit Resort and Casino. Big 2 hours on tap. We got lots of news and notes coming out of off-season workouts. Mandatory mini camp officially underway for a handful of teams. Coming up in about 30 minutes, VSiN's own Will Hill will join the program. He's got some NFL futures bets, preview for the NBA Finals, Hour 2. Mike Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver, get his thoughts on the big deal from Justin Jefferson yesterday and the wide receiver market as a whole, because, Michael, as we have learned recently this offseason, it pays good to play good. How we doing?
We're doing great. Actually, I even went to the dentist this morning. I'm alive and well. I can report that. Nobody hates the dentist more than I do, but I went and got that handled. So we're good. We're moving on with the day. Life is good. Stormy, this receiver fascination is remarkable. It just has taken a world of its own. And at some point, while everybody's zigging, somebody else is going to. I mean, look at Green Bay's receiver room. They have one of the best receiver rooms in the league, and they've spent no money on it. Like, I just don't get it. Like, the worst thing you can do in football is pay great money for good players. And I think this is what's happening. And look, I think Chase is going to get a great deal. I'm sure C.D. Lamb will get a great deal. But there's some guys, you know, you take them, and they're good players, but they're replaceable. I almost, when I went through today, and we're going to talk about it, the top players under 25, I mean, I saw there's like eight receivers that are the top players in the league. Like, nobody changes the game like this. Now, Tyreek Hill does, and Mike McDaniels is right for saying what he said.
Yeah, I think that there's a handful of wide receivers that you're willing to pay because they're just different. They're next level. They're a true wide receiver one. They make the quarterback better. I just personally prefer to pay the quarterback to make the people around him better versus paying the wide receiver to try to make the quarterback better, which let's talk about some of these wide receivers, because as I mentioned, mandatory minicamp began today for 10 NFL teams making the transition from the voluntary to the required work. Those teams include the Bears, Cowboys, Lions, Texans, Colts, Dolphins, Vikings, Eagles, 49ers, and Titans. But just because the practices are quote unquote mandatory does not mean that everybody is showing up. And one of those players is, of course, CeeDee Lamb for the Dallas Cowboys, who Mike McCarthy said is not present. He's been engaged and he understands it's a business decision. He added that he has no issues with how the team's veterans prepare. Lamb not there. Parsons is expected to be there. What'd you make of that news?
All of this, I make no big deal. Like, I don't even give it a second thought, because he has a contract. And if he wants to lose $50,000 a day at training camp, God bless him. Now, we've had hold-ins before, Stormy. So we've had guys show up and hold in. I get that. You got to get used to the times. You got to get hip. You got to get cool to handle the hold-ins. But to me, it's no big deal. I mean, we need to get our younger receivers reps. If CD's not there, look, CD's numbers are so good. Yeah. And if he's in shape, what do I care whether he's there for minicamp or not? If he wants to get fined for doing it, go ahead. I mean, it's not moving the needle at all on the negotiation. That's the thing. You know, holdout means you're holding your services from something. It's like the unions that go on strike, okay? You know, they won't pick up your garbage for 4 days. Now, that's going to stink, right? That's going to be a problem. You think this is going to stink? Of course not. Who cares? Who cares if he's there or not? I could care less. I mean, it'd be great to have him, but if he wants to pay us in fine money, good. We'll give the money to the Red Cross, or we'll give it to St. Jude's. We'll give it to somebody, you know, but we're going to fine him for it because he should be here. But if he's not, what do I care? We're not playing any games.
With CD specifically, is this similar, because he's on the fifth-year option, to Nick Bosa last year, where he gets fined but you're able to, waive them later on? Is that the case for CD or no?
Yes. Yes. I think, to me, it would be exactly like Bosa. When you're in the option year, you can waive the fines if you choose to. But once you do that, you set up precedent all over. Look, the Chiefs, by paying back Chris Jones, not that they paid him back in directly, they gave him an opportunity and incentives, which he hit, to get the money that he lost during the fines, because you can't take it back. So, yeah, I think there's no question he can get the money back. But, like, if you're Jerry, why would you just encourage holdouts if you do that?
Yeah. So if this isn't a good negotiating tactic, like it's not one that really moves the needle for you sitting in the GM's chair, that even the outside noise and pressure, that's not something that impacts you. Why is this something that we see so frequently?
Because it's because they know the media, the agents know the media will eat it up. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, you're in shark infested water and you put a drop of blood in the water and it's all every, you know, you get every shark near you, you know. They know the media, well, they have nothing else to write about. They can't think about anything else to write about. So we're going to write about this holdout. That's the news of the day. Who cares? Who cares? So you know, good. And so that's all they know to write about. I got to write about it. They act like it's 1980 where holdouts mattered, because when you held out in 1980 or 1990 before the CBA, you didn't get fined and you could have, your services weren't helping the team. But last I checked, there's no games this week. Like, they're not hurting the team at all. If you want to be an independent contractor and hold out, good. Here's your fine. Here's what we're going to do. We play the first week of September. If you think you're going to show up the first week of September and have a great year, you're going to give us $50,000 a day. That's great. We'll collect that money. And then, you know, we'll see where we go.
And you said it. See,
well, you know, it's like anything. You have to be indifferent to it. If you know, early in my career, because we had so many holdouts, you know, you always were, you know, oh, we got to get him in camp. No, we don't. We're going on. Like, the program moves on without you. Trust me. The programs move on without most every player.
The NFL will be just fine in 10 years, whether we're here or not, right? Like, that's who was that said that last year that went crazy? But it's right. Like, in the grand scheme of things, that is true. It's correct. Lamb, by the way, +850, third in the Offensive Player of the Year odds. Christian McCaffrey, who is the reigning Offensive Player of the Year, second on the odds board going into this season. He did show up at 49ers camp after missing OTAs. Brandon Ayuk, we are not sure yet. I keep checking my timeline, but no word just yet. And the 49ers, Michael, truly, I've been thinking about this a lot. Even though I don't think that a deal is going to get done with Brandon Ayuk this offseason, I just feel like we're going to go through this year. Him and Debo Samuel are going to play, and then they're just going to reevaluate and see what happens next year, and we're not going to be able to retain that talent. But the 49ers, regardless, like the last four or five big contracts they did, went up until the middle of July. Like, they are a team that drags things out and they take their time with it regardless.
No, and they do the right deal for their team. Like Prague, who does the deal, he does all the deal. Lynch doesn't do any of the deals, and Lynch is the general manager, but Prague does all the contract negotiations. Like, they understand it. Like, they're not going to react to it. They're not going to be sitting there saying, oh, my God, if we don't get this player in. Kyle grew up around this environment. Like, you move on to the next guy. It's no different than an injury. Like, okay, you're not here. Good. We got to get somebody else to come in. Like, nothing shuts down. Like, there's nothing shut down. Like, we're not going to get a bye the first week of the season against the Jets because Ayuk isn't in camp. Right? It's not going to happen. So you just move on, and you have to have a sense of indifference to it, because what the agents are trying to do is to create a sensation like they're doing in Miami, that if you don't do something, you know, you're going to get a lot of bad PR. If you don't do something, the players are going to be upset. Look, the players are upset no matter what happens. I mean, you could feed them the French laundry every day for lunch, and they're going to be upset. You know, it's too spicy, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's not what I like. You know, come on. At the end of the day, we got to figure out a way to win games.
Well, let's go down to South Beach, because Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel told reporters that Tua Tagovailoa, who's entering the final year of his rookie deal, is present for mandatory minicamp. Ian Rappaport saying Tua might not do much as he seeks a contract extension, but the two sides have been discussing it, and he is present. Also present, Tyreek Hill, who, as we mentioned, all of these Offensive Player of the Year odds, is the favorite at +650, coming off of a season, even with injury, where he still led the league in receiving yards. Mike McDaniel described his demeanor as very happy. Take a listen.
Tyreek Hill has been unbelievably valuable to my coaching career, this franchise. You know, we set out to do some ambitious things from the onset, and he's on top of the fact that he wanted to take his game to another level, but also be a leader. He's tremendously important. We've always prioritized him that way. So for him and I, we stay in our lane with our relationship, you know, the organization will always do right by players and let them handle that.
Obviously, that last bit referencing the idea that Tyreek Hill might be wanting another update to his contract, signed a 4-year, $120 million deal in 2022. But the wide receiver market has, let's say, drastically changed the last month.
Well, and he saw A.J. Brown get a redo deal, and A.J. Brown went to $32 million. Now, there's a lot of ways to massage the Jefferson contract, but when you add in the year that he had remaining and the new money that he got, he's under $32 million, no matter how you want to spin it by the media. He's not the highest paid non-defensive player or non-quarterback. Bosa's still there. A.J. Brown's at 32. He's slightly below 32 with $88 million. And because A.J. Brown got a contract redone, there's been nobody who's been a bigger influence for a team's success, albeit they haven't won a playoff game, than Tyreek Hill. They have to do something with Hill. The question is, what are they going to do with Tua? I'm disturbed by that. I'm going to write a column tomorrow for VEASAN about the Miami Dolphins. Are they good enough? Can they win on defense? They're spending a lot of money. The offensive line is still in flux. Teron Armstead, doesn't practice. Doesn't even practice at training camp. Is he going to be able to play well enough? Who's going to be the rushers? They got two of their best rushers, Phillips and Chubb, are both coming off ACL repair. So I think it's an interesting team to look at. And if they pay Tua over $55 million, which I expect them to pay him somewhere around $54 million, you got $54 million going to Tua. You got $28 going to Waddle. You got another $33 going to, it's good. It starts to add up.
9.5 win total for the Miami Dolphins for Hill. His receiving touchdowns prop set at 9.5, coming off a 13 touchdown season. Had back-to-back 1,700 plus yard seasons. His receiving yards prop, 1,375.5. We'll be right back when we return. You had such a perfect setup there. Burning questions for teams entering mandatory minicamp.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. Saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use the promo code VSINHORSE. That's all one word, VSINHORSE, VSINHORSE. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right inside the app. Download the DK Horse app today. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Before Will Hill joined the program, we had a little bit of breaking news with my San Francisco 49ers. And no, it is not that Brandon Ayuk reportedly is not there for mandatory minicamp. It actually involves their star running back Christian McCaffrey, who, according to Adam Schefter, once again resets the running back market, signing a 2-year extension with San Francisco. Now, the number he put out there, Michael, is it's averaging $19 million a year. He'll receive an additional $8 million over what he was scheduled to make the first 2 years while adding $24 million in guarantees. But I'd love it if you could walk us through what that really means in terms of the dollars and cents for this contract.
Well, so he had 2 more years left on his contract. Now, they didn't rip up those 2 more years. They added 2 more years and they guaranteed him money, which is no big deal to do because he had a base salary at $11.8 million this year that he was going to be on the team. Next year, he has a base salary of $12 million. And then he had $200,000 in workout bonuses that he didn't achieve because he wasn't there. So essentially, he had $24 million over the next 2 years, which is easy for the 49ers to guarantee that. And then what they did is they added 2 more years onto the deal. Okay, so now he's got a 4-year deal that averages $15.5 million. But if you want to just talk about the new money, then it gets him up to 19, but you can't really count that. It's like Jefferson's new money gets him to 35 per year. But when you add Jefferson's deal with his existing deal, it's a 5-year deal at $159 million. That's what they're going to pay him over 5 years. $159 over five, he gets 31, almost just slightly below 32 per year, which is what A.J. Brown got. So that's going to be the conversation back and forth. McCaffrey's a unique player because 15.5 for McCaffrey is the cheapest end of a receiver. McCaffrey can go line up and win one-on-one against any corner, and definitely against any safety. The guy's averaged 8.6 yards per catch since he's been in San Francisco, right? He averaged 8.4 with Carolina without a quarterback. You know, he gets first downs catching. I mean, they're so versatile that, you know, you have to put him on the – when he's on the field, they can substitute without substituting.
Yeah.
So let me explain. So he's lined up in the backfield with another runner, and they're in two backs. Say he's with Juszczyk back there. Two backs, two receivers, one tight end. You play base to that. They motion McCaffrey out. And if you want to play man-to-man, they got a linebacker on McCaffrey. If you want to play zone and they kick it over, then you're playing zone and it makes it easy for Purdy. And so you say, well, they can't really run the ball. Well, they put Debo in the backfield and take Juszczyk and put him out. And now all of a sudden they got a legitimate runner. So they substitute with never substituting. Kyle Shanahan's offense is built on formations. Sean McVay's offense is built on running gap, running downhill. It's not a formation offense. It's going to be a quick, it's going to be the speed sweep, going to be gap schemes, and we're going to throw over routes. Everybody wants to talk about Sean and Kyle being running the same offense. They don't.
Yeah.
Kyle is the only one of this tree that predicates everything off formations. And none of the other guys, LaFleur or anybody else who's been with them, McDaniel, they're not formation driven. They're not. And that's why McCaffrey is such a valuable piece to what the 49ers do. Now, McCaffrey went to another team. You know, say he went to the Jets with Nathaniel Hackett, that wouldn't fit because you couldn't get the versatility within the scheme. The most effective offensive teams in pro football are the ones that can substitute without substituting.
Well, and Michael, we've talked a lot about how his role has changed from what he was being asked to do in Carolina to what he's doing in San Francisco, where he had to be the guy for everything, where now in San Francisco, he's the straw that stirs the drink. He's a versatile, unique talent that makes that entire thing go, the key cog in that offense. And I think that's why he's being paid as such, right? When he signed his initial extension over 4 years ago, that was the richest contract in running back history. It's remained as such to this point. And now it's being added on to. And it is interesting what you say, because his contract, yes, in terms of wide receiver language, is low by comparison. But for running backs in a position that has continuously been devalued, it's the highest that we've seen and likely will see because of the additional roles that he does.
Right. And he's a matchup nightmare. Look, he got 83 first downs running the football. The 49ers only got 147 rushing. He got 207 throwing the ball. He got 31 of those. So he's a first down machine.
Mm-hmm.
Get first downs. He gets them. And he's very effective at doing that. So I think to me, you know, when you watch him and the blend, it's the perfect fit for Kyle. The versatility allows Kyle to have so much leeway within the offense. Now, here's where it gets a little sticky. And this is what favors Brandon Ayuk, is because they have so many inside receivers, McCaffrey, Kittle. Kittle's the one who suffers the most of all this because he doesn't get the ball nearly as much as he should, and he's a really good player in that offense. But because they have so many inside receivers, Kittle, McCaffrey, Samuel, right? He doesn't get the ball in there as much as he needs. The middle of the field gets packed. People play what we call one rat. They pack the middle of the field to take away this. This is why, you know, we're seeing that, you know, Kittle, last year he averaged 15. He had his best year in the league other than his second year, averaged 15 on 65 catches, over 15 yards per catch, because they're using them on deeper routes as opposed to just trying to get first downs.
Well, Michael, that leads me down a whole another route, which we'll talk quarterbacks a little bit later on in the show. But Brock Purdy, don't tell me that he doesn't make the people around him better when you have Brandon Ayuk, who had a career year, and George Kittle got over 1,000 yards for the first time in forever. So we'll get to that a little bit later.
Can we stop that, please? Yeah, I mean, can we stop it? I mean, I'm so annoyed by it. Like, I don't understand, Stormy, why Kurt Warner is treated with reverence of his career and Brock Purdy is treated as he's just going to fail miserably. And you know, here's the thing that I think has to be said. Kyle has more faith in Purdy than he's had in any quarterback that he's had there. Like, he gives him more rope than anybody. Kyle believes in him. And if Kyle believes in him, and he knows way more about quarterbacks than 99.9% of the commentaries coaching talking about it, it's almost an annoying narrative.
In hour two, Michael, we're going to have some fun with some blind resumes, and I can't wait to dive into Purdy's numbers compared to some other quarterbacks around the National Football League. But before we stray too far off of Christian McCaffrey, we do have some props available on CMC for this year. Want to throw them at you in the run game. Last year, 1,459 rushing yards in 16 games, 14 touchdowns on the ground. This year, his rushing yards prop set at 1,150.5, and the touchdowns 10.5. Any early thoughts there? And I'll give you the receiving numbers too in a moment.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is going, I think he's going to be less involved in the run game and more involved in the passing game because they've added some runners. They added the kid from Louisville who they really like. The other kid that they like, which I didn't understand how he wasn't drafted, was the running back from Missouri. I have Schrader on the brain, but that's not his name. I'll get it here in a second. It's the kid is Schrader, right? It's Cody Schrader. Remember him from Missouri? He was the Division III player, and all he did is lead the Southeast Conference in rushing, and yet he doesn't even get drafted. Garrado is the kid that they really like. He's a fast, explosive player. Now, remember, Elijah Mitchell was a good back for them at one time. So I think you're going to see McCaffrey really kind of involved in the passing game, predicated on the matchup. But look, he led the team in broken tackles last year. I think, and he's good getting near the red zone. They know they need to keep him healthy for the stretch run.
That's always going to be the priority with Christian McCaffrey. We know he had his fair share of injury issues in Carolina. Fortunately, has not had that problem with the 49ers. In the receiving game last year, 564 yards and 7 touchdowns. His props for this season, receiving yards props at 500.5 and the receiving touchdowns 5.5. If you believe what Michael is saying here and you think he's going to continue to get involved in the receiving game more, perhaps the over is where you look there. Also, love this little nugget that our handy-dandy producer Elliot Bowman just sent through. In terms of wide receiver money, Christian McCaffrey's $15.5 million annual salary puts him between Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, Michael. You're trying to tell me Christian McCaffrey's not more valuable than those two punks? Come on.
Seriously, I mean, because what he adds to the passing game, you know, that's the key about paying running backs. If the running back can contribute to the passing game, I'm all for paying him. It's if he's just a runner, then it becomes really hard, and that's when you have to dig in.
I could talk about the San Francisco 49ers all day, Michael, but unfortunately, that music is telling me we gotta shut up. So we'll be right back, resetting for hour two of the program. We'll hit all the big news of the day. So much more coming out of mandatory mini camps and what is going on with the Jets. Every day, it's another thing. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. If you like watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all of our great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends, and right now on the homepage, in-depth betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Whether you're looking for series plays, props, or game-by-game breakdowns, we've got you covered. Head to vsin.com today. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in on a week where we're having all the wide receiver talk. Our wide receiver one here at VSiN, Mike Pritchard, joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. Former NFL wideout, college football national champion at Colorado. Pritch, how much are you and your friends just talking about this week, man? I was born in the wrong generation with how much these wide receivers are getting paid right now.
I mean, Stormy, Michael, great to be with you. Yeah, you said it. I mean, wanting to be born in 1999 instead of 1969, right? But I'm okay. I think we're okay. You know, we have Google stock, we have Microsoft, we have McDonald's, so we're all right. But no, it's fantastic. No, I think what Justin Jefferson is doing and what all these elite playmakers are doing, really, Christian McCaffrey and everybody, it's outstanding. I mean, I remember my days in the very beginning of all of this, right? When I got to the league, it was free agency was just becoming a thing with the Reggie White situation. And so to see what free agency or revenue sharing or expansion or certainly growth in revenue can do for you. It's incredible what's going on in the National Football League right now.
Mike, let me ask you something. When you go through it and you played the position, right? So you know that there's, you know, Tyreek Hill changes the game. Right. Jefferson changes the game. But there's just a lot of other guys are good, but the good guys are now making elite money. At what point do you say, wait a minute, that this isn't going to work? I mean, Jordan Addison is a first-round pick. Does he get paid? Does Drake London get paid, even though they really haven't tilted the field in their favor? The other guys do.
It's a great question, Michael, but I'm going to throw it back to you in this regard because, like I just mentioned earlier, we're seeing unprecedented growth in the National Football League. The stated goal by these owners is $25 billion annually, right? And they're on the fast track of achieving that goal, too. So I looked at the salary cap. $255 million now. And so if you add in 7% growth in salary cap, like we've seen, next year the salary cap goes up to 273, and then in 2026 it's 292. By the time we get to 2030, and the CBA is over, we're going to see a new CBA, the salary cap is going to be $383 million. How do you manage that as a club? How do you manage a salary cap upwards of almost $400 million? We're going to see so many astronomical contracts. It's going to blow our minds in the next few years.
I was about to say, if that was the salary cap last year, what would Daniel Jones have gotten paid, Michael?
Well, that's the thing, Stormy. You're going to pay for mediocrity. Yeah. That's what you're doing. Yeah. I mean, is Dak Prescott worth $60 million a year? No, and you have to take yourself and say, no, wait a minute. That's the market. He's not worth it, but the market says this is what he gets paid. And so you got to make decisions, and you only can pay certain positions. You can't pay everybody. So you have to cheat in some other areas, and that's really where it gets a little iffy, right? I mean, and I think to me, I was talking to a coach in the league, you know, who's an offensive coordinator. He's like, look, you know, we had three really good receivers where I was. We couldn't throw the ball because we didn't have a quarterback, and we couldn't protect.
Yeah.
You know, and so to me, it's still – football's a game that comes back to that. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, I mean, it's fascinating to just think about managing a salary cap of $400 million, one. But then, too, what you said, you know, there's a handful of franchise quarterbacks. Like, I think I can count up to about 12 franchise quarterbacks. And there's unique situations with Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott, I think, is in a unique situation. And then certainly I'm not adding in the guys that are recently drafted. But in terms of quarterbacks that elevate players around them, in my estimation, there's only one. I mean, I don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going to be yet with that injury, but it's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Josh Allen to an extent, but certain extent. But majority quarterbacks in the National Football League right now, they need a surrounding cast around them to elevate the quarterback play. So that justifies Justin Jefferson because they have a rookie quarterback. And, you know, Devontae Adams, because who knows who's going to be quarterback out here with the Raiders. And, you know, Brock Purdy. Getting elevated with all the weapons that he has. I mean, that is what the league has turned into right now.
And the Vikings, of course, in the unique situation where they are on the rookie deal for their quarterback. Right. And so they can afford to pay the big talent wide receiver who does make the quarterback better. With the 49ers and the deal they get done earlier today with Christian McCaffrey adding to what was already the most lucrative running back deal that we've seen in NFL history. Now, naturally, all the questions and the eyes turn back to Brandon Ayuk, who's not there for mandatory minicamp, who's trying to get a deal done. When you have guys like Justin Jefferson, who gets the big contract, CeeDee Lamb, who's expected to be next, Ja'Marr Chase, who's eligible for an extension as well. Where does Brandon Ayuk stack up in this mix to you? Because he's coming off of a career season, best that we've seen from him. He can be that deep field threat. But in some of the category and upper echelon that he wants to be in, where does he stack up with those other wideouts?
Well, I feel for him. I think he's an exceptional route runner. I don't know if he's a true number one elite playmaker like a Justin Jefferson, you know, like AJ Brown, all these guys, but he is a really, really good player. Right. And so I feel for him because I know the family, the Shanahan family do not want to pay two wide receivers. They just don't.
Yeah.
And so that is what is the crux of the matter here with Brandon Ayuk. And, you know, they can exercise him, and certainly they can kind of control him with the franchise tag and do all kinds of things. And really, as a player, that's what frustrates you. I think if you're on the fast track of being elite, you have to get upstairs and knock on the door of Michael Lombardi prior to that fifth-year option if you were drafted in the first round and try to get something done, because that's how you're going to escape the control of the franchise. And knowing that Shanahan family, knowing how they work, it's going to be difficult to see Brandon Ayuk get the money that he wants or feels like he deserves.
Yeah, the problem with this contract, Mike, is you have to, it's one of those you want to grow into. He wants to get paid elitely, which free agency would do it. We saw Christian Kirk get an elite contract a couple years ago without a lot of great numbers behind it. But you have to build a contract around, okay, here's where really your number says you should be, but if you continue to play like this, here's where your numbers will be. And it's hard to get players to take that kind of deal because they want it right now. Understandable. And they know if I get the free agency, somebody will pay me that number without a doubt. So that's a hard negotiation to go through. As you look, we had Simon Hunter on yesterday, and we talked about week one. And I know you're considered a professional when it comes to betting. Is there a game in the week one rotation that has just caught your eye that you think is going to be a perfect play?
You know, Michael, the only one I've focused in on so far, because we are so far away, is that Pittsburgh-Atlanta game. I think we talked about that before, right? You know, if you're at Pittsburgh, you're catching, 2.5 points, I think, at the time. I haven't looked at the line recently, but, you know, so many things are going on. You know, Atlanta, are they really going to hit the ground running with Raheem Morris, with Kirk Cousins? I think continuity has to speak volumes. At least it does to me when it comes to betting. And knowing how teams would love to have those fast starts and certainly don't have to iron out wrinkles or anything like that. So, to me, there's a lot of wrinkles down there in Atlanta, right? Hot Atlanta right now. whereas Pittsburgh, I think they're recharged, right? And they have this quarterback and Russell Wilson that thinks that he's legendary. And then you got Justin Fields, I think, who's going to push him. But then you have a really, really talented roster with continuity. And when they're healthy on defense, they're as good as it gets out there. So I just think that's an opportunity. If we're looking at lines right now in early month of June.
How important is it at some point in your mind, if you're Justin Fields, to get on the field this season? I mean, both Russell Wilson and Fields are playing essentially for their careers and their next contracts, right? To see what they're going to be. But Fields being the younger player, how important is that for him?
You know, I like this, Stormy, because I think Russell is playing for legacy and Hall of Fame, right? I think Justin's trying to become that guy.
Yeah.
Every man for themselves. I think that's going to be an interesting watch right there to see how these guys coexist and certainly push each other. I think Justin's got a ways to go. But this is the kind of offense and certainly the philosophy that is conducive for his type of game. He's a Pop Warner quarterback, meaning he's the best athlete on the field with the ball in his hands. But as far as throwing it and winning from the pocket, I think Pittsburgh wants to rely on Russell in that regard. So I think they'll push each other. Ultimately, Russell will win it. But Justin should be better off for it just from the experience standpoint.
Rich, always always appreciate. I'm having such a hard time today speaking, and it's literally my job, Rich. Appreciate your insight. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate you as well. Thank you.
Mike Pritchard on the Lombardi Line. We will be right back counting down the top five players under 25 in the NFL. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5 and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN. That's V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Michael, I don't know what's going on with me today. I feel like I've had good energy. Nothing. I've been excited. We've been yelling about the energy. Jets. Yet somehow when I try to go to break, I cannot use my words. What's happening?
Well, you know, sometimes you just kind of get ahead of yourself. I mean, we all make mistakes. I mean, look, we all don't have the perfect day. I certainly don't. Yeah. You know, I'm coming off the dentist. I'm just happy to be here today. Really, seriously, I was thinking about calling John Goulet.
I'm saying, Michael, how does the man who's coming from the dentist, you can speak perfectly today, but it's me, dentist free. Which, by the way, when did this issue with the dentist begin for you? Was it at a young age that they did you wrong?
It's gross. When I was 8 years old, I threw up on the dentist, and I've had this phobia about him ever since. Like, I could still remember being there, and it was like a disgusting, you know, like he started drilling my teeth. And the next thing I know, you know, there it goes. And like, I break in a cold sweat. Like, if I could cancel a dentist appointment, it's probably the greatest thrill of my life. But I needed to go because I had to have a root canal. The day Belichick left the Patriots, I was taken off and I was getting a root canal. And of course, he leaves. And so I had to come in because, you know, you got to do it in your line of work. I thought I would be like numbed up forever. I didn't even have Novocaine today. So man. I was pretty proud of myself. Of course, nobody was with me holding my hand or nothing. They could care less. You know how it is. You're on your own, Stormy.
Where's Millie at? Dang. Keep fighting the good fight, Michael.
She's over there in the heat with you in Las Vegas. She's over there, you know, helping my son move his stuff from Las Vegas to San Francisco. I was writing in my journal the other day and I'm like, well, Millie's in Las Vegas. And then I looked up 2 years ago and Millie's in Las Vegas. Like, it's like been like a pattern. Like it's unbelievable. But I just want to clarify, it's not a vacation. It's there. She's there working. So I just want to clarify
that. Yeah. So even though she couldn't help you today, she's still helping the family. And that's what's important. No, we give Millie all the love.
Or my dogs or nothing. Yeah. Nobody's helping that. Yes.
Oh, well,
I got to tell you though, you know, when I see these on Instagram, not to change the subject, but on Instagram, when people announce that their dog died, it just breaks my heart. Yeah. Doesn't it break yours?
Yeah, every time. It's the same
thing.
Who did I see the other day? I was just saying,
exactly.
It's the same thing in movies. When a dog dies, people get more emotional than when there's like all these people dying. It's a weird thing.
I'm turning it off. I was watching this. It's a really good show on Apple called Sugar. Really good. It's interesting. And there's a dog early in it. And I said to Millie, if something happens to that dog, I'm done watching this show. Like, I'm not watching this if something happens to the dog. So, fortunately, spoiler alert, nothing happened.
That was me and I Am Legend. Devastating. Okay, we have to get to the sports things now. Somebody who is having a better day than both of us is certainly Justin Jefferson, who yesterday became the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, according to the reports and the money that has been publicized, right? All before his 25th birthday, which inspired an idea for our Lombardi's list today, the top five players under 25. Now, we're excluding Jefferson from this conversation. We're excluding quarterbacks as well. I wanted you to hone in on some other positions. We talk quarterbacks a little bit too much here. So let's go top to bottom, Michael. Lombardi's list, top players under 25.
Well, I think it starts with Andrew Thomas, left tackle of the New York Football Giants. Really a good player. Can play left tackle. Was hurt last year for early in the season. He turns 25 on January 2nd. This year he just did on January 22nd, 2024. But he's a legitimate big-time left tackle. And when you have one of those guys on your team, you usually can move the football, and that's a critical position. And so I think he's really one of the best young players under 25 and under.
Well, and despite missing a chunk of games with the hamstring, he was like the lone bright spot for this Giants offensive line.
Yep.
And it's a line that's been bad for years. And so hopefully he can be that foundational piece that some of these other young guys who are coming in can step up. Like, will John Michael Schmitz get better? Will Evan Neal get better? There's a lot of questions, but hopefully he can be the centerpiece there. The Giants win total this year sitting at 6.5. Who's next on your list?
Micah Parsons. I mean, he just had his 25th birthday on May 26th this year. But this is a guy who's going to be the highest paid defensive player. He will get above Nick Bosa only because Bosa's contract is older. And the versatility with Parsons, he can move around and do different things. And he doesn't really play a position. He plays everywhere. So, you know, this is a really good player. I'm happy to see that he's not going to give away $150,000, $100,000. Why should you give that up when you're going to camp? It's not that hard. Keep your money, save it. Don't do what Lamb's doing. Don't do what Ayuk's doing. It's stupid. Don't do what Courtland Sutton. Like, what's Courtland Sutton thinking about? Seriously, I was thinking about that. Like, who's he holding out from? He's hurt half the time anyway. Like, what are you holding out for? What do you know, you hold your services when you're really playing. So stop. Anyway, my next player is on Denver, Patrick Surtain, who doesn't turn 25 until April 14 next year. This is a really good player. My two next players are corners, Patrick Surtain and Sauce Gardner. Both corners, both don't turn 25 until next year. Surtain in April, Sauce turns it in August. So they're really good. They can play man-to-man. They can play zone. They've got length. They can close. They're what I call complete corners. You know, I break corners down into two categories, breakfast corner and dinner corner. They got the breakfast corner has to win early in the route. The dinner corner can win late in the route at the top of the stem. These two guys are any meal corners. They can win early and they can win late, and they're very effective. And then one of my favorite players in the league, and it was a debate back and forth. The next two were debatable on where they should go. The Penei Sewell, 25 on October 9th next year, 25th, October 9th, 2025. Right tackle, left tackle, want to play him at guard. Outstanding player. I thought the Bengals should have drafted him, but instead they went with another really good young player, Ja'Marr Chase, who turns 25 on March 1st of next year. So those guys, to me, are really elite. And we look at, and four of them, Stormy, are 24 years old going into this season, which is really remarkable. But they are blue chips. They're at the top five of their positions, which is critical, right? Top five. Like, they go into the game, they can tilt the field in their favor.
A couple players who did not make your list that I feel like, based on what we've seen from them so early in their careers, should in the near future, Puka Nacua and Aiden Hutchinson. Do you think they're creeping, could be on the list soon?
Yeah, they were definitely going to be in the top 10. Puka, I was so mad at myself after the show yesterday for not talking about Puka. Like, everybody just feels like you got to pay the receivers. Like, Cooper Kupp's a third-round pick. Puka goes in the fifth round, you know, and this guy takes the world by storm. Like, that's the thing I don't understand. There is a huge supply of receivers out there because kids are playing receiver. There's a lot of kids play receivers. And so I would have thought there would be more people would take the Green Bay approach, find receivers in the second and the third round, keep that economically down because the supply is so high. Unless you get a number one receiver. Like, is Jordan Addison a number one receiver? Is Drake London a number one? You picked him in the first round. Are they number one? I don't think so. I think they're good players and you want them on your team. I don't think they changed the game, though.
I want to go back to those corners. You have Sauce Gardner and Pat Surtain both on there. No Trent McDuffie, who's also under 25 right now. How far off is he?
Could have been there.
Okay.
He's right there. But McDuffie's a little unique in the sense that they call him a nickel corner, which he plays all the time. He's the star. He doesn't play outside corner. He plays inside. And so, but he's a really good player. I mean, he helps their defense. Could he go outside? I think it's going to be interesting to see how they play him this year. I kind of was holding off on him. Mm-hmm. I really want to see now that Snead's gone, I want to see how they're going to play him.
I still love your all-meal corner. Like, that's great. I know that we've done the breakfast and dinner, but the all-meal corner, he can do it regardless of the situation, is great.
Yeah, Revis was one of the few guys in the world that could do that. You know, there was an era in the 70s where everybody was a breakfast corner because the rules allowed you to beat the crap out of the receivers at the line of scrimmage. But when they changed the rule, all of a sudden guys could win. Like, Diggs is a really good top corner at the top of the route because he does such a good job of reading the quarterback and understanding where he's going with the ball.
I know I'm putting you on the spot with this one, but for you right now, who's the top corner in the league overall?
I think it's Surtain. Really do. I obviously Jake Gardner's really good, but Gardner gets a little help. Last year he got a lot of help from Bryce Huff. You know, this year, is Hassan Reddick going to give him much help? I don't know. Maybe somebody call him up on the phone and ask. I don't know, but both those guys are really good. They're elite, and they can go into the game. And what makes them elite is you could say, okay, we're going to play what we call three Mabel. You got this guy over here on this side. Everybody else is playing zone over here.
Fun exercise, another great edition of Lombardi's List. Remember, everybody at home, if you missed any of the show today, you can always download the Lombardi Line as well as the GM Shuffle in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. That's a wrap for us today. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, Stormy.